Lord, we pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. You hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. The Holy Spirit was just kind of emphatic about this particular scripture today in James 4. I tried to go several different directions, but it's pretty clear he wanted me to speak from this scripture. I'll read a few verses before 4 because it all kind of flows together. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But wisdom from above is pure, is peaceable, is gentle, it's reasonable, are willing to yield, is full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. All right, now going into 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You desire and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose, that he jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us? Really great Scripture there. But how that reads, even which is better, is with envy yearns the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Like the Holy Spirit is just envious and yearning to dwell in us, okay? Not just to dwell in us, but be released in us. And here's just a section to he wanted me to focus on. But God gives a greater grace, a mega grace. Therefore, it says that he's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, just in the context here of what these guys were dealing with, you know, not just the quarreling, you know, he starts off and encourages them in James chapter 1 about their those who are going through trials, you know, consider it all joy, and then talks to them about just being doers of the word, not hearers. And then in chapter 2, he's talking to them about not putting distinctions, you know, when a poor man walks in to show them honor, you know. They were just doing all kind of stuff. Chapter 3, if you've ever read James, chapter 3 is about the tongue, how bad that, you know, how wicked the tongue can be. You know, he says, how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. You know, one little tiny match can just burn down millions of acres. And then he goes, and evidently in chapter 4, they were, you know, jockeying for position, and they were just exalting themselves above the others, and just, you know, so he's kind of just bringing it all down to a head for them, because he wants them to walk in the ways of God. And this word, the proud here, means, it comes from two words. It means to overshine, okay? Means that I've got to overshine everybody, you know? I've got to, that's a kind of a self thing, self-exaltation, where you got to be, and I use this a lot in counseling for couples, that, you know, you don't have to be right. It's more important to be godly than it is to be right. But pride within us, which we all have from the fall, wants to overshine, right? And wants to be right. And in this whole context of this thing, I love how the Lord puts it, because when it says submit therefore to God, that word submit is to come into line with the ways of God. That isn't his way, you know, this isn't his ways to do that. So he gives us, he always gives us grace. We talk about grace a lot, like just the ability of God, the affection of God toward us. His activity within us is basically what the grace of God is within us, is the activity of God. But he just pours out this greater grace when we humble ourselves before the Lord, okay? Because it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because the devil just kind of loves, he kind of feeds on an environment where there's pride, where people are exalting themselves, right? Now I love this next scripture. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Great scripture, isn't it? That's all time for all of us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded just to mean like have two souls. You're two-souled. Drawing near to God and cleansing your hands. What that means is when I cleanse my hands, it means simply I own my stuff. My hands are dirty. You know, when usually when you have, you know, again, I use, you know, with couples, rarely is there ever where one person's hand is totally clean, right? There's a little dirt in all of our hands. And so what James is, speaking to these people and encouraging them is own it. Cleanse your hands, okay? Draw near to God so he can cleanse your hands and so he can purify your heart, because he wants to pour out a greater grace on you. And he was teaching them a great thing about humility. You know, one of the main characteristics about a person, if you know if you're walking in humility, is one is you're very teachable, right? Scripture even says that God hangs out with the humble and contrite. Because if I'm humble and contrite, then I have a heart that's very teachable before the Lord, right? And he can teach me, and he can come in any area that he wants to speak and speak to me if I'm walking in humility, right? Real important characteristic. Jesus was very humble. Moses, it says, was the most humble man on the earth, you know, back in the Old Testament, back in those days. But Moses stayed before the Lord all the time, right? He's very teachable. So that's what it looks like. If you want to know, hey, if I'm really walking in humility, well, just ask yourself that question. How teachable are you? You know? And anyway, so draw near to God. He's going to draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, because the Lord wants you to be not double-souled, but one soul. What that one soul is in union with him, union with the heart of Christ. Okay? It sounds like a really bad verse here, but it's not. It's really good. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Right? Doesn't just sound like a good verse somebody's reading. Hey, everybody, be miserable and mourn and weep. But what it's talking about is over your own sin, over your own stuff, you know. Very important, you know, in our relationships with each other. Again, I use the husband and wife because that's just kind of who we're around all the time. You know, it's just so important. Even our relationships with each other, right? Just important to own it, you know, own our stuff. Because God just really wants to cleanse us. And to mourn and weep, that's what that means. Bracken read part of the Sermon on the Mount, and, you know, the first part of that is he talks about that, you know, about owning your stuff. It's, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, or they shall laugh, or they shall be, actually that word is Holy Spirited. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what this is about here. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Again, that just seems like such a terrible verse, doesn't it? But here's what you're doing. You humble yourselves in God's presence and he'll exalt you. All exaltation from the Lord comes from that place. It comes from humbling ourselves in his presence. Humbling ourselves, owning our stuff, right? Agreeing with him, confessing, agreeing with him. And from that place, God always exalts you, right? Even in position, you know, within the body of Christ, or you know, in your job or whatever. Always remember that God exalts you, or God puts you in place through humility, not because you think you deserve it, or you're smarter than everybody around you, or you think, well, I should be doing this. I'm a lot better than they are. That's not a good place to be, right? It's good to be humble in God's presence. You know, for there he can, because nobody, heard this, you know, all my life, which is really true. Nobody can hinder or take away your destiny in the Lord, right? No person has that power. God exalts you from that place. And usually he puts, what I've seen, is he puts people in charge who really would rather not be in charge, right? And what he's looking for, again, there, not that, you know, that is the criteria, but it's the heart of humility. You know, all if you ever want to do a study through that, especially in Proverbs, there's a lot of scripture that talks about how God teaches the humble his way. You know, we want to know the ways of God. We do that through humility. Okay. And so isn't one of those things where, you know, I throw the rocks and whoever it hits yelps, you know. It's just The Lord just wants to do more, and he fills an empty vessel. And so time coming before the Lord, sometimes we just got to empty ourselves, you know, and let him just come and fill us. You know, as we grow more and more in this revival and what God's doing, you know, as you're drawing closer to God, one thing you do see is when you draw closer to God is you can begin to see kind of how dirty your hands are. You know, turn down the lights in here and you can't really see, but it's bright and you kind of see my hands are a little dirty too. And it's just a place of where God wants to just pour it out and exalt you. Okay, so great scripture, but when you read it going into chapter 5, you know, James is just a really good, really good book. And the next one, don't speak against each other, brethren, you know. And you really don't speak against a brother when God has done this work of humility in your heart. Because usually when we speak against someone is we do it because we're looking down on them, or we're exalting ourselves above them, or we're saying that, you know, I would never do that, you know, like they're doing. And not so, right? Because the Lord will pull back the curtain and say, you know what? Actually, you do the same thing. You just call it something different, right? So I pray for us. I pray the Lord will just continue to work humility, because he pours out, he gives a double grace for that, just pours out grace on us in that place of staying at his feet, being teachable and humble before his presence. And that's where he lifts us up from. Amen.